Thank you. I want to reiterate that my presentation is migrating because we're still migrating. So this is a current work in progress. There are certain parts that are migrated and some other ones that are not. So you will find some funny things that will not be so nicely updated as of today. It's a bit of an archaeology trip. So unfortunately, I don't have music to put Indiana Jones because this is literally what we've been doing for a year and a half. And let me tell you the story. So a little bit about me. I'm a Spaniard. I come from the north, so these heat waves are killing me because I'm not used to the hot summers, even if I'm a Spaniard. I do not fulfill the stereotype. I'm a DevOps engineer, cloud engineer, sysadmin, whatever you want to call it these days. I'm a former employee of CERN. I am an employee as of today, but I left and came back. I used to be working for Proton and for CERNOSOURCE before I came back to CERN early last year. So the I am a service manager for configuration management, among some other services. So we have to split our percentages of time. So I am 30% on config management, together with my colleague Giacomo Tenaglia, who maybe you recognize also from Slack. So we are both relatively new on the service, hence why this archaeology trip has been maybe harder than it should have been. Just in case, what is CERN? It's the European Organization for Nuclear Research, or Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire. It's between France and Switzerland since 1954. So literally the border passes through the streets inside of the complex. It's a high energy physics research, but it's not only dedicated to this. There are many other fields that we investigate on. And it's very well known because of the Large Hadron Collider, which is the largest and highest energy particle collider. It's 27 kilometers circumference. And hopefully, maybe we get funding for a bigger circle, 100 kilometers. Let's see. Please keep on paying taxes. This is also the place where the World Wide Web was invented, where the Higgs boson was discovered. And it's the only place in the Earth where we have an antimatter factory, which is the most expensive product on the surface of the Earth. CERN employees 2,500 people, but yearly we have many people coming from collaborations and like all types of contracts. So you can have up to 12,000 users yearly. And just in case, we do not create black holes nor do rituals, even if the conspiracy theories are all over the place. Apparently, since we stopped the HLC, some people are mentioning that the time has elongated every day. We were discussing about these conspiracy theories yesterday. So, enough of what we are. It's important to remark the size of the fleets that we're managing. So this is basically our time scale telling us the amount of nodes split per operative system. We are talking about, as of today, 14,000 machines. Some years ago, it used to be 40,000 machines, so there will be some clarifications about this scale later on. It's a plethora of operative systems that we have to maintain. So as of today, it's Alma Linux RHEL 8, the same for 9, and since recently 10. I know on the graph there is still some entries for CentOS 7. I know it's end of life, so further clarifications later on. I will make it on purpose, like to omit Windows World, because this is another team that is taking care of this. So yes, we also have puppetized Windows machines. So we are part of the agile infrastructure. So all over the place, it's literally written AI. Unfortunately, these days, this is causing some mayhem. So we are maintaining all the infrastructure for Puppet World, plus other machinery for bootstrapping and taking care of both physical machines and virtual machines. Our setup is based on OpenStack, all the suite of OpenStack. So it's not mentioned there, but since it was mentioned before, I want to clarify we are using the same. So we really need this for keeping the reproducible state for all the machines in the data center. So Puppet is the backbone, and we have so many services that rely on it. There is one to be worth mentioning here, which is HT Condor, like the patch service we have. Back in the days, we used to have many more nodes, but smaller. Hence, why we have a sudden drop from 40,000 nodes to 14,000 nodes as of today. So technically speaking, the computing power has only increased, but the number of individual machines has reduced over time. Also, since many services started also migrating to Kubernetes services that we provide. So our case is it's a bit particular because we have 400 administrators of different services. So all of these people really need to be able to handle their public configuration, their environments, and so on. So to do this, we are using also Foreman as our colleagues as an external node classificator, where we define the Foreman host groups that then will configure the different host group configuration for the different services that we have at CERN. So just some numbers, more than 250 host groups and almost 500 modules. So definitely some big infrastructure and machinery to maintain. No, the other way around. So a bit of a summary on how config management works in our case. There's a lot of homegrown glue, and I think it's an understatement. So I'll be quick with this. It's just a glossary of certain technicalities in our world. So of course, like host group is the node classification unit, and the sub-host groups are like a hierarchical path under the main top-level host group. GENS, it's our particular Puppet environment compiler. Its name comes from our librarian at CERN. So think of it as an RTNK before it existed. And then we have our own custom solutions for secret storage and host certificates. So we are either on the move or planning the move for those two tools to move to OpenVAO, and for certificate management conversation just started. We also have our machine upstate machinery and a set of CLIs that we use to take care of all this bootstrapping, maintenance, and life cycle of the machines. So a particular thing is we still use mCollective, and we keep it alive. We rebuild it. More about this later. So, well, I think this is nothing specific, like nothing new about our setup, but yeah, we have a hierarchy for Hiera, and Foreman is the NNC. So basically, a script is going to be defining the separation between one host group and the other one, so it knows where to include which classes, and that's about it. We have a set of integrations and customizations for Foreman, and just a heads up, our Foreman is really old, and we are planning on migrating later on. So yes, as I said, GENS, this is like our environment engine. And basically, it's maintaining on an NFS that we're mounting on all the Puppet servers the corresponding paths to be able to define the configuration for the different environments for the different host groups. It's basically using GitLab webhooks for knowing what to update at any given moment, because we are receiving all the time changes on all the host groups on the different branches that define a different environment. It's open source, it's still maintained, and basically if it's down, changes do not propagate for the service managers. So the infra, our infra, it's called Punch. For the English people, they may know about it, but it's a reference from our predecessors for Punch and Judy, a Puppet, well-known Puppet show. So Punch is the infrastructure for all Puppet related stuff. Judy is our foreman. We are more than probably having a super oversized fleet of Puppet infrastructure. Once again, because this comes from the 40,000 machines that we used to have. Therefore, more than probably we need to do a cleanup. This is planned for later this year, but just as a warning, because more than probably you think that those numbers are really big, even if our fleet is that big as well. This is basically the picture, a simplified one. So it also like shows the numbers that we have and the amount of compiled catalogs that we are facing every single day. More numbers of what we are dealing with. I can go back if needed for certain questions later on. So Foreman. Foreman is 2.4 in our case. So it's ancient, and we really need to update this. We call it a fork because even if we are using upstream packages, the plethora of patches that we are using on our infrastructure is non-negligible. We may lose certain features when upgrading because it was heavily customized by our predecessors, and there are certain things that are done differently on the most recent versions, but we really need to move this on. We cannot keep on living with such an old version forever. PuppetDB, or OpenVoxDB as of today, actually. We have six nodes, and they're running V8. We split them for read-only or for write operations, and we needed certain patches because we have certain customizations that are really needed because of the size of the administrator fleet. We need something called plugin sync filtering because of security constraints. Otherwise, an administrator could, technically speaking, include certain code that would overtake someone else's service by accident or on purpose, depending if their accounts get breached. We also need a facts block listing because the amount of nodes that we have, if they start bringing so many facts, the Postgres databases that we have underneath would literally blow up and we would be in trouble with our database colleagues. There are certain things that we depend on that we tried to push back in the day to PuppetDB. So later this year, we'll try to get certain features that are useful for all the community to OpenVoxDB. And we have some really particular cases where the size of the fleet, given the PuppetDB queries that they are running, makes our PuppetDB instances blow up and stop responding to all the user community. So there are certain things that we still need to take care of when it comes to scaling. As I said, mCollective, still alive, still maintained, still alive for us. We still keep it because when we tried to remove it during the operations of the accelerator, certain people started to get nervous because they really rely on documented procedures that heavily rely on mCollective. So we've tested Bolt. It really works well for us. The problem, as usual, is pushing the community to try to update all their documentation, all their procedures to adapt to Bolt. There is only one remaining thing that we still need to figure out, which is how Bolt works with 2FA integrations that we have, because there are many hardened machines that are only accessible from certain Bastion nodes, and they are 2FA protected. So this is something that we need to figure out. So I'll be glad to hear about your stories if you're on that situation as well. So we are rebuilding it because we had to start providing support for Enterprise Linux 10. And we had to start patching it to make it work just because of all these operational procedures. So the migration itself, we'll talk about one meta package, and that's what we use for doing the whole switch. So for most of the people, it may be just a repository switch. You do a JAM or like whatever package management system you use, update, and then that's it. OpenVox packages for us are fully transparent. That's not the problem here. The problem is all the machinery around to make it fit in our use case. When we were facing this situation with Perforce, it was time for adventure time because many things were not documented, or like it was a bit of guessing or having to go through interviews with the former service manager. So yeah, it's not gonna work. Just switching the repo and jam update. Back in the days, we were rebuilding our own Puppet agent. So this time we wanted to do the things right. We wanted to use upstream packages. And then if needed, we would just use the patch module to customize whatever we needed. Just a remark on Windows World, once again, it's another team. And they will soon have to start looking into moving to OpenVox. We would be consuming upstream OpenVox packages and then just add a layer of meta packages on top to handle all the customizations and dependencies that we depend on. We had to start providing support for Alma Linux and RHEL 10. Therefore, we wanted to just do OpenVox from the start on that one and then extrapolate all the ideas and learning lessons on 8 and 9. So, meta package, one package to rule them all. Basically, it's a super simple package. We are only obsoleting the Puppet agent and requiring OpenVox agent. Having said that, there are extra gems that we need to include or other dependencies that we need for our bootstrapping. And as it was mentioned before, for the Puppet agent, you really need to back up the configuration. So since we don't have SSH root access or any other type of access to someone else's host groups, machines, we really need to centralize this on a package that everyone will be drinking from, and we are backing the Puppet configuration and then restoring it after doing the real switch. So, just a remark, I know it's Puppet 7, you will see that we have a mix of Puppet 7, OpenVox 7, OpenVox 8. So, basically speaking, that's the jump upgrade procedure, and that's what actually ends up switching from before and after the OpenVox migration. So, just out of curiosity, it's not rocket science. We are just backing up the configuration before, we are doing the obsolescence, we are doing the replacements. If the DNF transaction works, done, the switch is done. We have then the extra gems that we rely on for multiple purposes. So, the meta brings the gems and the dependencies for the agent itself. So yeah, we have an extra gems package for all the extras that our tooling needs beyond the base agent. So certain things for mCollective to be working, and some other tools. So before because I'm getting confused. Extras now depend on the agent, not reverse. Exactly. We had a circular dependency that we had to get rid of at some point. So now we are doing things the proper order, so it makes sense when doing these switches. Before, mCollective was being shipped with the Puppet agent rebuild that we had. Now we just rebuild it and ship it ourselves. So we want to start stopping rebuilding things ourselves. It's nothing but a nightmare, especially when we have to keep on maintaining these packages forever with switches of service managers. Stop being special on this side. We use the patch module all over the place for all the customizations, of course, because we really need certain things for us. There is one particular feature that we rely on severely is the plugin sync filtering. And this is needed so you as a service manager define which modules you trust and to be able to run custom facts and libraries or whatever on your machines. This is once more something related to security principles, and this is a request coming from them back in the days. So for doing the switches, the servers go before the agents, but during the development cycles, it's the other way around. And then a small remark about legacy facts. Until 8 is steady, we really need to keep this because certain service managers will be slowly migrating to the new world. Structured facts are not even a thing for certain people still. So it goes slowly for certain people. We really need to go after them over and over with notification campaigns and so on. It's a bit boring what the switch actually is, because we have to go through the usual development environment, then the QA nodes, and then the production ones. So as a remark, as the diagram shows below, the QA OpenVox servers are on OpenVox, the production ones are still on Puppet, and soon enough, after holidays, everything will be switched. Everything has been validated, everything can work on this setup. Agents are ready to be switched as well at the very end. There is no Big Bang switch. We do it per host group, per environment, QA, and then production. So machines will start picking up these packages that we mentioned before as they go, whenever the distro sync is gonna be running their usual timer. The first switch is Puppet DB to OpenVox DB. It's already in production. The funny story is that because OpenVox DB requires OpenVox Agent 8, that required a bit extra of time because we were still not running 8 anywhere. So we control three modules that are centrally included all over the place, and this is our only way to actually intervene in the machines of other people. We control the repos, we control the configuration for mCollective, and also we control the baseline Puppet configuration on all over the place. But once again, we don't have SSH root access to the machines to do whatever we want. We were facing certain bugs precisely because of OpenVox DB requiring the OpenVox agent version 8, while the rest of the world that we had was on 7. So this is just a short collection of funny things that we were finding as we speak. So, as I said, we really have a funny state. We have OpenVox DB on version 8, running on OpenVox agent 8, and then the servers themselves are on QA on OpenVox server 7, running OpenVox agent 7, and in production is Puppet server 7, running OpenVox agent 7. It's a bit of mix and match, but it works. The clients, some of them are running on OpenVox agent 7, because that's what we require for the validation, and others, the production ones, are still running on Puppet agent 7. It just works. We upstream certain things, especially our colleague Steve Trailing, our former Puppet master. We try to contribute to different modules as much as we can, and patches, and we really need to contribute more. That's something that we really, really, really rely on. Therefore, we have to give back as much as we can. In the good old days, our former colleagues were also contributing actively to Forman, but as you can understand, since we are on 2.4, maybe not anymore. And I'm collective, but the same applies. So, status and lessons learned. Where we are. So as you see, we are in the middle of the migration, hence the gerund and the title, migrating. We are in the middle of migrating. So most of the so for all the packages, it's a drop-in, which is switch, low drama, it just works. Which is need to keep in mind to preserve the Puppet configuration all over the place, otherwise the next iteration of the Puppet agent is not gonna work. So, lessons, use patches. Patches all over the place, stop forking, stop being so special. Try to be as close to upstream as possible. And then, of course, as shown on the diagrams before, we really need to finish the agents, really finish the Puppet servers that are still dangling around, and then push the people to switch to Bolt on their procedures. So once more, for Windows team, this is the wrong world. We do not intervene apart from providing support for the baseline, for the base infrastructure. And then, well, as you can guess, 2.4 is super old. We really need something recent. So we need to get our hands dirty on this later this year. So then the next big thing for us is migrating up to OpenVox 8 all over the place. All the service managers already have CI validating their catalogs against 8. So they really need to validate those CIs before the deadline. And we really need to push all the service managers. We need to reiterate to them that this is the only option. Things will stop failing if they don't get their hands dirty. So I put it in a small print. It's like we really need to drop CentOS 7 support. So once we're back from holidays, we pull the plug. Some people are still running on CentOS 7. We really need to stop all the conditionals and trying our best effort to keep it working. It's not going to work for Puppet 8 anyway, so they really need to move away. We want to evaluate Ansible integrations because, as a remark, we are the central IT service. Having said that, there are experiments that have their own small IT services. And on some of them, they are using Forman with Ansible. And we really need to start like stopping those silos and centralize everything maybe to fit their needs on the punch, on the Puppet central service. And we are having some internal discussions on how to give back to Vox Populi, but as usual, things that are maybe are a bit slower than elsewhere. And I think you know what we are talking about. So that's it. Questions?
Regarding Forman, when you will switch to a newer version, have you thought about writing a plugin so that you can still have extra features but without doing patches, etc., so that you end up diverging from upstream?
So the question is whether we are considering the plugins for Forman for all these customizations that we have. Very good question. I don't know. So we will have to get our hands dirty later on this year. We will see what we can do with the plugins and what we cannot. Because as a matter of fact, as of today, the whole list of patches, we are not even sure if all of them are still needed. We are not sure the complete list, like if we really need this to cover certain use cases on the later versions of Forman. So it's an archaeological work, and as such, we'll have to put again the hat of Indiana Jones, and maybe in the future I can send you a message like yes or no, answering the question later on.
Do you already plan for MOOC 9?
We're still on 7, so. I think that sentence summarizes it all. The mills of God grind slowly. Later on, we'll evaluate. I mean, we will have to. The problem is when. So just for a little bit of context, the experiments are now on the long shutdown phase. Therefore, it's when we can really profit to look into what we can update and change. So probably, if I'm being honest, I believe that it will be for the next long shutdown.
In 10 years, the next long shutdown?
Maybe.
You mentioned a fleet of 40,000 servers. Where have they gone?
Sorry?
You mentioned a fleet of servers. I guess the number was 40,000.
Yes.
Where have they gone?
So, I think it's mentioned on this one.
Giving back and having servers.
One thing at a time. So we used to have 40K and now it's 14K. So batch service used to have a lot of small virtual VMs all over the place. Now instead what they did is they use physical machines which are bigger. So the computing fleet, like the computing power capacity, it's the same or higher, but the number of machines is smaller. So that's what it explains. Plus, as I said, like certain services that started severely migrating to Kubernetes world. So the infra that we have for running the catalogs for all of those machines, as I said, has not diminished and more than probably should. So we already reduced the capacity, but we really need to reduce it even more and free up those resources for other services to be used for. Okay.
I think that's it. Thank you very much, Daniel.